We're about 4 days from Thanksgiving. A lot of people, I heard it in our testimonies and our again talking, a lot of people don't have much to be thankful for. But I'm here to tell you, we got a lot to be thankful for. We take a lot of things for granted, but we ought to thank the Lord that we're in our right mind. Amen? Thank the Lord we're able to get up. Now, I know what you're saying. Now, Jerry kind of spilled the beans. He said his daughter drove down and looked at the $500,000 home. Look, thank the Lord for my $200 home, for my $100 home, for my $50 home. I ought to be thankful, amen? Thank the Lord that I got a job. Thank the Lord that I'm healthy. You know, my wife didn't want me to say it, but she went to the doctor and they didn't find any problems. So we want to thank the Lord, amen? We want to thank the Lord. God is a good God. You know, there'll be some midnights in our life where we don't know. It's just like Deacon General said, we don't know what the outcome. But we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Amen? Now, Sister Charlotte was talking about even her mom and how she was congested, and then her brother came back. Let me tell you, it's a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful. So since this is a Bible-believing church, we're going to walk through the Bible today because I want you to see there's a lot of things in the Bible that talks about Thanksgiving. So get your Bibles and open it up to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And then we're going to look at a couple of verses in the Psalms, but I think it's very important that we understand that the people of the scriptures were very thankful also. Jerry always asks about Israel. How could Israel get all them blessings? Because they like us, we forget the next week that God done something. First Chronicles. Did I say Chronicles?
Yes.
First Chronicles chapter 16. And while you're there, let me just get you to go ahead and turn to a few verses that will already be there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Yeah, I'm going to turn to Ezra chapter 3. That's just a few chapters over. Ezra chapter 3. And then Psalms chapter 92. So I'm just trying to go ahead and let you put your finger there. That way we already have you there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Ezra chapter 3 and Psalm chapter 92. Give you time to get there. See your page is turning, but if you're in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, say amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 7, read that with me. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hands of Asaph and his brother. So there are a lot of psalms in the Bible that we ought to give thanks. But on this day, we see when they brought the ark back in, David delivered this psalm to the Levites and Asaph to thank the Lord. And today, I'm delivering to you a time of we ought to thank the Lord. Amen? I missed this one, but turn to 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5, 13. That's just one chapter over. 2 Chronicles 5, 13. Jerry preached a little bit on this last Sunday. He preached how we need to have singers and how we need to have praisers and prayer warriors. And so we're going to look at how we thank the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. You there, say amen.
Amen.
Read verse 13 with me. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lift up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then that the house was filled with the cloud, even the house. Sister Jennings didn't know it today, but as they were singing, the Holy Spirit got in hold of her. She began to praise the Lord. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? And let me just tell you, when one get touched, we all get touched. Amen? So when people begin, I was at a funeral the other day. Well, y'all know Brother Matthews, George Matthews, and his son began to sing.
And he began to give, he said, my daddy used to always tell me to sing, but I never shout, but I'm going to sing today. And I began to cry because it touched me. So whenever you're thinking about, here it is, singing and praising and thanking the Lord, lifting up your voices and praise the Lord. Amen. My wife said it like this. It may be on the field for him, but guess what? We're going to praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to praise the Lord. He's worthy of it. Ezra chapter 3. Now, most of you all, like Brother Jenner said, your Bible student, you know Ezra was a time when they came out of captivity and they went back into the land. They began to lay the foundations of the house of the Lord. And then Nehemiah came back and built a wall. But Ezra, again, was a ready strive. So look at Ezra chapter 3. You there? Verse 11, read that with me on three. 1, 2, 3. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Because he's what? Good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now I want you to understand one thing. They shouted at the basketball game. They shouted at the football game. Ain't nothing wrong with shouting in the house of the Lord. Amen. Some folks get all excited. Say, you ought to calm down. I say, hold on a minute. You don't calm me down when I'm at the game. You don't say that. Let me tell you. Now, I'm not talking about just for my own self. I'm saying when I think about what he done for me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes you want to shout. Amen.
I tell y'all this all the time. I'd be down in my basement at the house, and sometimes I'd be talking to the Lord, and my kids used to say when we were little, Dad, who are you talking to? I'm talking to the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
My wife, she don't like me to preach on her, but anyway, she got that good report, and she had me, you know how people have you hanging, they don't tell you right up front. So she with her friend, and they doing all this stuff, and I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. And she called me. Well, I'll call you back later. Now, she didn't get the good news, but I'm hanging in the I'm hanging in the ballot. So finally, she got home, 5 o'clock. Now, she done went to the hospital at 10 o'clock. She said, oh, everything worked out. Thank you. But anyway, we want to praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm chapter 92. And all these, we're not going to read all of them. Then we'll turn out there. But Psalm 92, Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118, all of them says the same thing. Verse 1. Psalm 92, you there? Read that one on three. On three. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. I want you to know it's a good thing to thank the Lord. Paul said it like this. In all and everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. When the bills are paid, give thanks. When I ain't got no money, give thanks. When I'm going to the hospital and don't know the doctor, I'm going to thank him. Amen. When I'm going to a funeral, I don't understand everything. I'm going to thank him. Let me tell you, we need to thank God because it's a good thing to thank the Lord. Amen. Let's go to our text today, Psalms 86. We'll be preaching from this morning. I'm going to take my coat off if y'all don't mind. Getting a little warm. Psalms 86, you there? We're going to read verse 5. Then I'll give you another verse, then I'll pray. Psalms 86, verse 5. Read that with me. For thou, Lord, art good, and thou ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. This one thing we're going to talk about today, why we ought to thank the Lord, because he's a good God. Amen? 1 John 9, you can quote that with me, say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you, God is good and he's merciful. Amen? And he's faithful and just. You say, well, which one is he good and merciful or is he faithful and just? He all of them. He both. He's good and he's merciful. And he's faithful and just. So we're going to talk about today how we ought to thank the Lord for his goodness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's day, a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad. And thank you for
Brother Jennings bringing the Sunday school lesson so eloquent this morning, Lord, as we saw how you opened up the Red Sea and protected it. Matter of fact, it was deliverance for one and destruction for another one. We see that, God, you take care of your people. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that Bible story. Thank you for Jerry opening us up in a word of prayer, opened up this morning. Thank you again, Lord, for a time of our giving our praises, giving our prayer requests. Thank you even for the testimony that we heard. We even heard Sister Charlotte talk about her brother said he came back to the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for that, Lord. Especially, Lord, grown people, Lord, who grew up. I thank you, Lord, that they come back and say that the Lord is righteous. Thank you for that. Thank you for a time of a covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for a time of announcement about my wife. Thank you for a time of the congregational singing, Lord. Thank you for a time of offering by G.O. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit for a little while, that you speak to your people, Lord. Help us to have, like my wife's, an attitude of gratitude as we get forward to going to this Thanksgiving holiday. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God is good and mercy, and he's faithful and just. Now, a lot of time you say, well, how could God be just? Well, to be just, God has to punish sin. Amen? So when we say God is just, that means that he is going to have to punish sin. Well, we're in a dilemma here. God would have to punish, if God was just for everybody in the world, he would have to punish sin for two people. See, Jesus already has paid for sin for the righteous. Amen? But the unrighteous has not been paid. So God is just to them even when they don't receive Christ. See, a lot of people have a problem with that. They say, well, God is not a good God to send anybody to hell. Let me tell you, God don't send nobody to hell.
Amen.
You go to hell on your own accord. God is a righteous God. God has done, I just give it to you in our Sunday school lesson. That wall of water was a judgment.
Yes.
For the nation, the Egyptian. That cross that we're looking at today is a judgment. You can either receive it or you can reject it. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8:32 said, he spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we ought to be thankful. God will give us all things. The Bible said it was God that justified. The Bible said, who is he that condemned? Christ died for. So God has been good to us. Amen? God is a good God. We talk about he's good and merciful. His mercy endures forever. Now, a lot of people get this mixed up. They get this mixed up with justice. The Bible in Romans 5, which is a beatitude, say, for he makes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust, on the evil and the good. Now, I want you to understand, that's not salvation. That just say everybody gets sunshine. Say, Lord, everybody get rain. But everybody can't go to heaven like that.
Amen.
They have to be judged on the cross. And Jesus already has paid for my sin. So when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be accepted. Because I have accepted his work. See, the unjust man or the atheist man or the agnostic, he can't say that. Because he have, and by the way, I don't understand how an atheist could give thanks. You get up in the morning, you don't believe in a God, who you going to thank? Who you going to thank for the beautiful sunshine? Who you going to thank for the crops growing up? Even at your Thanksgiving dinner, you atheist, I don't believe in God. I think I heard Jerry. Me and my wife said, a lot of people say they don't believe in God until the trial comes. But when they get in that foxhole and they fighting, then they call on the Lord. I heard a guy say, this sister, she was a Muslim. She started wearing all the Muslim clothes, and she's a black Muslim, and she prayed to Allah. But when she got in the hospital, she said, have mercy on me, Jesus. He said, what you calling on Jesus for? You calling on Jesus because people change when their situation changed. A lot of people say they're atheist, but you wait till they get in trial. You wait till they get in trial. And then they begin to think, well, maybe there is a God. So they do call on God. Amen?
Amen?
3 points we want to give you today is why we ought to be thankful. Number one is because the Lord is good. Brother Jennings always said, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. What you mean, preacher? Good. Let me help you. Yeah. Just look at the firmament. Look at the starry skies at night. Look at the foundation of the earth. Look at the deep water. Look at the valley. Look at the mountain. Look at the hill. Look at the springs. Look at the animal kingdom. Look at the grass. Look at the fruits. Look at the vegetable. Let me tell you, God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen? When we talk about God is good, we're talking about God benevolent. We're talking about God is kind. We're talking about God is liberal. God's goodness is associated with his nature and his revelation. In Exodus 34:6, Moses was getting a little bit perturbed there. And he was saying, God, you need to show me your glory. God, I don't want you talk about all this stuff. And God took Moses and put him in the cleft of a rock. Y'all remember that? And God said, now you can't see my face, but I'm going to put my hand over your eyes and I'm going to see my backside. Are y'all with me? This is what God said to Moses in Exodus 34:6. God said, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Psalm 106, I told you, say, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The Bible says, oh, how great is thy goodness in Psalm 31, which thou hast laid upon them that fear him. Trust in the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? The goodness of the Lord endures forever. God is a good God. God, I just told you about it. My family don't like me to preach on them, but sometimes I'm like Jerry. I don't have nobody else to preach on. My daughter just recently got a law degree and got ordained. Now God is blessing her with people coming into her life that are doing good things for her. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you, y'all be thankful. I'm talking about people that you least expect. They show up and say, can I do this for you? Can I do this for you? Let me tell you, you ought to be thankful. Because God is a good God. God do a lot of things for your life. Amen? Goodness is all around us. The air we breathe. I ain't got time to talk about that. I don't understand how evolution is living. How in the world are you gonna believe in a tadpole turning into a frog, that turning into a monkey, that turning into a man? I don't know how you believe that. I mean, I just believe the Bible. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I believe God created the animals just like they were. I mean, God give me air to breathe. My wife was just saying that she didn't even realize she was reading my message. There are some people can't even eat because their digestive system is messed up. So we ought to be thankful that I got a throat that I can chew and eat. Amen? Amen. That I can breathe. I'm not on an oxygen tank. My mother had COPD, and she had to carry around a tank. Let me just tell you, we ought to be thankful. Amen. Got my limbs. Sister Russell be talking about it all the time, but let me just tell you, I get some aches and pain, but I'm still walking. I'm still walking in it. I hate to preach on my family again, but my wife, my daughter got a house painted, and the guy said, you know what, I got two hip replacements, and I can move now. He was just jumping around and carrying furniture up the step. Let me tell you, that's something to be thankful for. I don't know if you didn't know it or not, but years ago, hip replacement, knee replacement wasn't that popular. It's popular now. Everybody can get them now. Get them now. And move just like, as a matter of fact, one of the guys I was working with, he was 74, and he said, they told me my knee replacement only lasts 24 years. He said, I'm going to live to be 100. They better get on it. I might have to get a second one. Let me tell you, we ought to be thankful. I just happen to be in a little bit of business now, but when I talk to people, I tell people this. Years ago, y'all stay with me now. Years ago, heart attacks was fatal. But today, with angioplasty and stents and the way they go in and do stress testing, they can put you in, it's almost like going in the
place and be home the next day. We ought to be thankful. Amen? I mean, God has gave man so much wisdom in it coming to the medical field that we can do things now that was never heard of. You ought to be thankful. Now, don't get me wrong. I thank the doctor and I thank the hospital. But the person I need to thank is Dr. Jesus. Because he's the one. Amen? Some of you in the medical field, some of you know about it. But God is still, we need to thank the Lord. God, he gave us food and clothing. I don't know what you know it or not, but some people don't have food to eat this Thanksgiving. You know what you ought to be thankful? When you sit down, I hate to preach on my family. We've been invited to a dinner, they're going to have turkey, and they even sent me the menu, they're going to have dressing, and my wife said, she's going to do the dressing, they're going to do macaroni, then my daughter said, with the macaroni and cheese, and the beef. Let me tell you, when they get food set down, you ought to be thankful. Amen? Amen? I was just talking to Jerry. I said, Jerry, what you going to do? He said, well, my sister's always cook. He said, we're going to Jasper, and they're going to throw down. And I said, let me tell you, it's a good thing to be with your family and eat during Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. Oh, y'all, some people don't have no food. I don't know where this comes from. Y'all can help me with this. Why do they call them devil's eggs? They be so good. I don't know why they named them after the devil, because I eat them up. Let me tell you. You got any devil food there? Yeah. Let me tell you. But God be putting that stuff out there. We ought to be thankful. God has given us food, clothing. God has given us comfort. Let me preach a little bit. Back in the day, we didn't have central air conditioning. Y'all remember that. We had a wall. Y'all remember, we had a wall in here. We didn't have it. Matter of fact, when me and my wife bought our first house, we didn't have central air. You know. So guess what? We got central air now. You can just set it on, and you got a thermostat, it cuts itself off. You know what? You ought to be thankful. You ain't got to worry about it. Just put the thermostat on 75 or 72, and it'll cut on and cut off. When the temperature goes down, it comes up. Let me tell you, we ought to be thankful. Y'all remember the day putting coal or wood on the fire. Yeah, we done come a long way. Be thankful. I told people this, and I know people don't like to hear it, but I grew up in the hood. I grew up in the shotgun houses. I grew up in the three-room house. We had a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen. That's all we had. And then my mama used to tell me, she said, Bubba, take that paper towel and plug them holes. You know, the holes in the wood. And the cold air would come in. You know, now they got weather stripping. You strip on the door and put on the window. We out of back there. I used to take some paper towel and plug it in that hole and keep the air. Let me tell you, today I got window sealed. I got a pane window. I got double pane windows. I got sealed around my door. I ought to be thankful. God brought me from a mighty long way. A lot of folks didn't like the project, but let me tell you, the project was better than those red houses we had. At least they had some nice curtains and nice stuff. We ought to be thankful. Heaters and everything. Central air. God has brought us a lot. God has gave us comfort. Jobs that we have. Oh, y'all don't want me to talk about the job, do you? We have these jobs now in these cubicles and these glass buildings and stuff. We ought to be thankful, amen? When you can have jobs like that. Those jobs they have over was the janitors and the cleaning lady, amen? Cooking. Cooking.
For somebody else.
Yeah, this guy was a CEO. He just happened to be Afro-American. And he decided to go down to the plant to help out. But he put an application on the line. He was looking for administrative assistant for $100,000. He's going to give her $100,000. He's the CEO. And so while he was down there on the floor, the lady came for the interview. She didn't know that was the CEO. And she said, what are you doing down on the floor getting all dirty and everything? She said, you don't need to be doing all that. He said, what are you here for? She said, I'm here for the assistant job. The people looked and said, she don't know who she's talking to. She lost her chance to get a job. And he said, people despise people because they don't think that you can ascribe a position. Let me tell you, we got Afro-Americans that are CEOs now.
Right.
Did y'all know that? Let me just have, since you didn't know. Atlanta is called the Black Mecca because they got millionaires now. Yep. Maynard Jackson, when they brought in the hub, the Atlanta Apple, he said, in order for y'all to come to Atlanta, you're going to have to give a lot of businesses to minorities. And so they are millionaires. Let me tell you, but I want you to get this wrong. It's okay to be wealthy, but don't leave Christ out.
Amen.
See, the problem with us is, I got into an argument with a guy in Atlanta at the barbershop. They told me, oh, you need to come to Atlanta. They got everything. We got the million. We got help. I said, hold on, do you have Jesus? What I say that for? What I say that for? Oh, so you have a problem with, I said, I don't have a problem with money. I just like that. And then I had to give him some statistics. You know, I hate to be the, my daughter said, Daddy, you're racist. You bad news. I said, Atlanta got a drug problem. Atlanta got a problem with gay. Atlanta need to get some other stuff taken care of. And they said, well, they said, we need to get the preacher out of here. Now, it's okay with being wealthy. Y'all want me to preach a little bit? But don't leave the Lord. Don't leave the Lord. I think the preacher last time was talking about we want to go like Lot. We want to go to the cities of the plain and the grass green. All stuff. We want to go to L.A. We want to go to New York. Let me tell you, those cities got major problems when it comes to a crime. Matter of fact, California got all kinds of, the number three crimes, and I didn't notice after I studied. Kidnapping, murder, and rape. Amen, somebody. So I'm not running to Atlanta. I'm not running to L.A. because they got major problems. But guess what? God still is on the throne. Amen?
God is good. He's good all the time. Look at the heavens. By the way, even the people who don't know the Lord, the heathen, when he wake up in the morning, he can look at the sky. What we have is general revelation. The Bible says man is out of dispute. If you don't understand, there's a God, you'll begin to worship something.
When you wake up in the morning, you see how the earth is on its axis. You see how the sun brings the heat. You see how God gives four seasons. You see how God sends the snow. You'll realize that God is a good God.
I was just talking to a guy the other day. He was saying, you know, we didn't have no fall. We just went from 90 degrees to 30. I said, yeah, that happens sometimes. But we still. Point number two. Not only is God a good God, back in Psalms 86, go back to Psalm 86:5. He said, for thou, Lord, are good. And what did he say next? Ready to forgive. He's a forgiving God. Oh, Sister Charlotte took my message today.
Her brother said, I apologize if I said something wrong. And her daddy said, I forgive you. Did you know that God is a forgiving God? Don't matter how much you mess up. Don't matter how many times you mess up. I heard about a girl, she was a 30-year-old virgin. And she had been keeping herself for years and years and years and years. And some slip came along and she fell. And she was broken. And she said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Matter of fact, when you mess up, God loves you just as much as he loves you when you're not messing up. Amen? So we need to understand we have a loving God.
He's a forgiving God. What the song said, he forgave me not one time, not two times, but 1,000 times. There's a man in the Bible. His name is Samson. Y'all know the man?
See, if you don't know the story, he was a womanizer. Y'all listen to me? He would go down here with a prostitute and hate. He'd go down here. And then he had his long hair, but he met his match. By the way, I don't care who you are, you're going to meet your match. He met Delilah. He said, I'm the fastest government in the West. Somebody faster than you. Delilah tricked him. Said, you love me 3 times. You tell me it's true. Now, you ought to know better. The first 2 or 3 times, she called the Philistine in, but he didn't get it. You ever heard the term love is blind? It is blind when it looks. It ain't love, it's love. But here's the good news. He shut his eyes out. Had him grinding at his knees. The Philistines were laughing at him. They were making that. They put him up against their god, Dagon. And they said, let's bring Samson out and do some sport. They had a big arena. And they brought Samson around and they had these people playing around because he was blind. Had these little midgets beating on him and they were laughing. But Samson bowed his head. y'all hear me? And he said, Lord, I know I messed up. Lord, I know I was a Nazarite. Lord, I know I was supposed to cut my hair. Lord, I know I was. But Lord, look, I'm sorry. But if you forgive me, Lord, and give me my strength just one more time. Well, isn't that a good thing? God didn't care. God, I can see God in heaven just rejoicing. Oh, God was forgiving y'all. He said, I'm going to give it back to him. And God said this. He killed more in his death than he did in his lifetime. Let me tell you, I don't care how long you've been out there in the world. Come on back home. That's why when people come out to church, don't beat them down. Say, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad that you came home. Amen. Be a forgiving God. But God said like this. Now, if you don't forgive me and their trespass, I ain't going to forgive you. I don't know who we are thinking that we can't forgive nobody. God forgave you. I can't believe they did that. Hold on a minute. You used to be 17. You used to be out in the street. You used to be worldly. Amen. You ain't always been saved. So guess if God can forgive you, he can forgive. And the Bible says, I said it like this, the Lord is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He said in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Look, God will reason with you. God will say, come on home, I will forgive you. That brings up another guy. That ain't even my message, but I thought about him, the prodigal son. Amen. Had it all. Had a dad. Took care of him. Had money in the bank. But he wanted to get out in that worldly life and wanted to test it for himself. Now, I want y'all to hear me well. You can't make your children do right. You can tell them. You can live for them, but they got to choose for themselves. Amen? He gonna make that statement. Daddy, give me my portion that come to me. Knowing that daddy ain't even died yet. Daddy went on and gave it to him. By the way, his daddy understood that you can't force nobody to do right. He said, son, I'm gonna give you your money. And the Bible said he went out and had a righteous living. And y'all listen to me. The man, his brother was so mad at him, he said, he slept with prostitutes, spent every dime you had, and then you gonna give him a fatty. He lived it up. I want to give you a good thing about God, just like the dad. Every day he would go looking for a son. Because he had forgiven him. Amen? Can you imagine that day he saw him coming? And by the way, your daddy know how you walk, he know how you talk, and he see him 2 miles off here, that my son coming, that my son coming. And when he came, before he could get it all out, dad, I've seen him. He said, don't worry about the son. He gets heaven, I don't worry about the son. He grabbed. When he just got out of the hog pen, was going to eat the husband off and hug his son and gave one of them kisses. By the way, that's a forgiveness kiss. I love you. I'm forgiving you. And then he made the statement. Put a robe on him. Put some shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his hand. Kill the fatted calf. My son that was lost is what? Forgiving God. Let me tell you, if you ain't got nothing to be thankful for, let me just tell you, thank him for forgiving you. Your friend might not forgive you, but God will forgive you. Your friends will try to bring up your past, but then look, God done forgave me. So I don't care what you say about it, I've been forgiven. Amen? God said he's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. First Timothy, Paul said it like this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul said, I was the worst of the worst. I was educated. I was locking up people. But God had mercy. Amen? He's ready to forgive Jew and Greeks alike. He's ready to forgive, here it is, from the oldest to the youngest. Y'all remember the woman that was caught in adultery? They're trying to trick Jesus. By the way, don't ever try to trick Jesus. You ain't gonna never win. They caught the woman in adultery. They said, we caught this woman in the very act. I want y'all to hear me quick. If you caught in the act, what it means? Because you can't be in the act by yourself. So they were trying to trick Jesus. They called him. And Jesus said, okay, I got you. But then he made this statement. He without sin. Since all y'all say y'all called, from the oldest to the youngest, he without sin. Let him cast the first stone. tell me that every one, from the oldest to the youngest, walked away. Now, there's a picture of forgiveness. Jesus looked at the woman and he said, "Now, what are you accusing?" Now, Jesus, what he was saying was that I have the right to accuse you, but I'm not going to accuse you. He said, "What are you accusing?" She looked around and she said, "Well, Lord, I don't see none." He said, "Neither do I." And then he said, "Go and sin no more. Forgiving God." Oh, God, man, it's a forgive. By the way, you're going to make some more mistakes. So let me help you out. He can still forgive you. But Paul said it like this. But don't sin so you can be forgiven. Don't continue to sin. Once you sin and forgive you, don't go that way again. Learn how to forsake sin. Amen? John 8:9 say, "And they which heard it became convicted." There was older, and they said, all sinners can come. There's no probational period. When Jesus forgive you, you don't have to go through a probation. You're forgiven. There's no escape. When Jesus forgive you, he give you eternal life. Amen? Matthew 26 said, "And about the 11th hour, Jesus was out one day. A merchant was hiring people into his vineyard. And it was only 1 hour left. And he said, you ain't got no job? Come and get forgiven. God will forgive you even up to the 11th hour." There have been people on their deathbed in the hospital. And they realize that they need to be saved. You said, "Can God forgive you of your deathbed?" He sure can. There have been people that have been in prison that realize that they sin. Can God forgive a mass murderer? Yes, he can. Can he? Yes, he can. Well, Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. Are y'all listening? So God can forgive you. So long as you got here, blood in your veins, and long as you come in your right senses and say, "Lord, I want you to forgive me." He's a forgiving God. The Bible says he's ready to forgive. All sinners can come. No, there's no height of death. He will forgive you. Whosoever will shall come. He will make his blood atonement for you. Point number one, we ought to be thankful to God for his good. Point number two, we ought to be thankful to God for he's ready to forgive. And the last point is, go back to Psalms 86, verse 5. "For thou, Lord," here's the first one, "are good and ready to forgive." And what's the next part? "And what? Plenteous." In what? Mercy. Oh, man, God is a merciful God. He's plenteous in mercy. You know what? He's giving you something you don't deserve. God is giving you mercy. Romans 5:8 said, "But he commanded his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God is a good God. Now, let me help you out. To show you that God is merciful, God was not merciful to the angels that failed. See, those angels was in heaven up there with Lucifer. And when Lucifer sinned, he took 1/3 of his wound. Y'all with me? But God didn't give them a chance. God said, "Y'all seen my holiness." So God cast them into hell. But you know what God do for mankind, me and you? Adam and Eve, he showed mercy. Brother Jimmy brought it out today. Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. They had everything. By the way, Jerry, they didn't have to work. They just had a rose garden. They had to name the animals. They had to walk around with God. Sin was nowhere to be found. But they found. And you know what the Bible said? God came looking for them. Because he had mercy. Adam! Adam, where are they? Now, you know God knew where he was, but he was just trying to get him to own up. I hid myself. You did? Watch my eye, Adam. Because I was naked. Well, who told you you were naked? So Adam already had found it. God knew his sin. But you know what God did? He took an animal, took the blood, and made atonement for Adam and Eve. Amen? Be merciful.
We need to be that. And the Bible says he's plenteous in mercy. God is merciful. God showed his exhibition by he's merciful. And this mercy that God does for mankind, the angels desire to look into. They don't understand. It surpasses all human knowledge. It surpasses all
suffering, all providence, all opportunity. We can't understand why God loved mankind. God said, what is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man that thou visit him? God has mercy on you and me. You know, sometimes we don't want to give people mercy. I ain't giving them mercy. Well, God gave you mercy. Learn how to be merciful to people. People need mercy. Amen. The Bible in Romans 10 said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, ask, seek and knock. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You need to knock. God is ready to give you mercy. The call came. I give you three people that found mercy. One of them was Peter. You know, Peter was that rambunctious fisherman. And Peter was the one that said, all men forsake you. I will not. And then one day Jesus came walking in the water. And they thought it was a ghost. Y'all know the story. And Peter said, even you, Lord, bid me come. The Lord said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Y'all know the story. But like they said, I heard it preached so many times. But again, to look at the circumstances, the winds and the boat. And then he began to sink. You know what Peter hollered? Lord, save me. You know the Lord had mercy. The Lord reached down and grabbed Peter's hand. Now, this ain't in the scripture. This is probably Jesus theology. But I bet you the whole time he was walking Peter back to the boat, he was talking to him. You know, like sometimes you have to storm people. Now, Peter, if you had kept your eyes on me, you wouldn't have went down. Now, Peter, let's get back in the boat. I'm walking back over the boat. Now, from now on, Peter, when we're going through a trial, you remember to look at me. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the wave. And that way he can do it sometimes. Sometimes when we get to this big old problem, we can't see it. We can't see God. We get this big old trial. We get this thing. And we get our eyes on the circumstances. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Put them on Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus in the midst of the storm. Amen? My wife was on me again, and she don't want me to preach on it. She said, don't tell nobody about this. I said, I'm going to tell everybody because they need to pray for you. I don't want nobody to know. Where are you going? I don't know because I'm going to tell everybody. So God wants us to pray for you. Then I got to call my daughter. Mama, word. I said, oh, she is. She don't want me to tell nobody. So I told the church. Why you tell the church? Call me. But let me get the rest of the story. 10 o'clock, she done got the good news. 5 o'clock, I get it. I'm worried about, well, whatever. I'll tell you later. Whatever. God is a good God. Amen? The next one was the Canaanite woman. There was a Canaanite woman that had a daughter that was possessed with a devil. Y'all know the story. And she came to Jesus and said, my daughter is possessed with a devil. And Jesus said, it's not me for me to take the children's bread and to give it to the dog. Y'all remember that? Now she could have got upset about that. Well, he called me a dog. But you know what she did? She said, Lord, the dog is eating the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. Jesus got so excited. He said, oh, go ahead, I'm good. Your daughter. Go on. So let me tell you, he had mercy. By the way, she wasn't even a Jew, but he had mercy on a Canaanite woman. Amen? Jacob. You know, Jacob was a scoundrel. Stole his brother's birthright. Y'all know the story. Stole his brother's blessing. Got down there, gonna trick Laban or his daughter, and Laban tricked him. Y'all remember the story? And then they gonna give him Leah. Instead of him bringing Leah back at night, he gonna sleep with Leah and then bring him back in the morning. He was a trickster. God said, Jacob, I'm gonna break you. So the Bible says, a man wrestled with him all night. And y'all want to hear that? That man was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said when he saw that he could not prevail, that means the angel kept trying to break Job. Jacob couldn't break him. He pushed his thigh, messed up his thigh. Y'all remember that? Now, I don't know if you know, but I'm having a little problem with bursitis in my thigh. I'm just helping you out. And sometimes I get pain and I have to drag that leg along. So I can see Jacob saying, well, Lord, but the Bible says he wouldn't let him go. So the angel just said, let me go. No, I'm not going to let you go because I'm looking to drag your leg. And the Bible said he wouldn't let him go into his blessing. And the Bible said Jacob prevailed against the Lord because he blessed him. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. tell you, God is merciful. By the way, if God taking you through a trial, hold on. Hold on. Don't quit. Say, Lord, I know you ain't got me this job yet, but I ain't giving up. Lord, I know you ain't done it. I ain't giving up. By the way, I was going to tell you two people that affected my life. One of them was, I told you about when we did the petting zoo. I met the CEO of a ministry. His daughter does the programs for me now. And he blessed me. And he asked me about my family. I told him my dad was Muslim. He said, I'm going to be praying for your dad. I said, great. And then when me and Jerry took out the missionary David, while I was driving the van, dropping off Sister Gaines, Jerry was talking to him, and he asked him about his dad. And this is what the missionary said, the one that came to New York. My dad just got saved. Did he say it, Jerry? He just got saved. He said, my dad had never been saved all my life. He said, I grew up, and I got saved at the age of 16, and I went on to seminary. And he said, my dad had got saved last week. He was so excited. Then I said, guess what? My dad is not saved. My dad is a Muslim. And he's 86 years old. You know what that young man said to me? I'm going to pray for your dad. Well, let me tell you, I got two people who just met me. The CEO of the ministry, whose daughter's doing the program for me, he's praying for my dad. And then I got this young man praying for my dad. Let me tell you, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to still pray that one day God will save you.
Amen.
Amen? God is merciful God. I know what you're saying. Well, we had that in our study when he was in. He was saying Muslim is the second fastest growing religion in England. He said people are just becoming a little. Let me tell you, if you get into checking out religion, you'll find out that Muslim, or like other religion, does not fulfill. And so my dad has been in a long time because he grew up in the 50s. He went in the Korean War. And as far as he's concerned, it's a white Jesus, and I went to a white school. But one day, Lord willing, I hope God will reveal to himself the true Jesus. Y'all want to hear me? Jesus is not the picture that you've been seeing. Jesus is not straight hair and blue eyes. Jesus is a light that comes and flood my soul. He's a Jew. And as far as I know, every Jew that comes from the Middle East usually are a different type of skin. So what I'm saying is don't look to this. Look to the one of the scriptures. Amen? Three things. God is good. You ought to thank him for that. God is ready to forgive. You ought to thank for that. And then he's plenteous in mercy. If you need mercy, ask God to give it to you. Amen? Would you bow your heads?